Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Home prices rise for the fourth straight month. From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke. Welcome to the Morning Open, our look at business and the economy as Wall Street starts its day. Home prices rose in July, but what's next? That's in a moment. First, where's Wall Street? Stocks are generally down about 0.5%. The Dow Industrials are off 40 points, about 0.4%, at 10,772. Walgreens stock, though, is up 9% after the big drugstore chain said profits rose more than expected in the last quarter. Let's greet our Tuesday morning regular, analyst Julie Neiman at Smith Moore & Company, joining us live from St. Louis. Hi, Julie.
Morning, Bill.
So with unemployment still so high, why did home prices rise 3% over a year ago?
Well, summer's always a good time. School year's over, people are moving, and you still had a little bit of the tag end of that first-time homeowner buyer credit that helped to boost both demand and prices. But when you adjust the figures for all that and the credit is gone, prices were basically flat for year over year.
Flat? Well, at least that could be a bottom, maybe?
Well, you know, supply and demand are really very regional. Southern California, where you are, looks like it's a real recovery. The largest 10 cities saw some kind of a recovery, but everybody else is pretty much in the ditch still, especially the Sand States, Florida, Nevada, Arizona. Foreclosures are rising, and unemployment is likely to rise as well as discouraged workers start back to looking for jobs. So the bottom, is it here? Not really.
I've seen reports that even with interest rates so low, there's not a lot of lending borrowing going on. What's going on with banks these days?
Well, probably the big thing with banks is they don't want to renegotiate those home loans at this point in time. They've got a lot of new regulations. They have some capital available, but they may have to hang on to it themselves because they're looking at more loans still going south. A few of the big boys are putting a toe in the water in terms of lending, but that's going to mergers and acquisitions. You still don't see much going into real estate.
Okay, that's Julie Neiman at Smith Moore & Company. Good to talk to you, Julie.
You bet.
The Government Accountability Office reports today that women have made only limited progress breaking into the management ranks at work. And the gender pay gap in the boss's office remains high, as Marketplace's John Dimsdale reports.
Only 40% of managers are women, and that's up only 1% since 2000. And full-time female managers earn 81 cents for every dollar earned by their male counterparts. GAO says parenthood falls more heavily on the careers of women. Florida State University business professor Wayne Huckwarter says women who take maternity leave miss several promotions and have to resume their careers at a disadvantage.
It's also very, very common for women to take maternity leave and come back to work and soon thereafter decide that I've got to come up with another plan. I've got to come up with another way for me to have a little bit more balance.
Huckwarter says his research shows younger women especially put more value on time away from the office to raise a family or learn a craft, which suggests there won't be many changes in gender management trends anytime soon. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Reputation Defender, helping doctors, lawyers, and small business owners monitor, protect, and improve their online reputations. ReputationDefender.com/market. By CSX, working to reduce traffic and pollution while moving 1 million tons of freight daily. CSX, how tomorrow moves. And by PBS, presenting baseball the 10th inning from Ken Burns, tonight at 8, 7 Central on most PBS stations.
This week, the United Kingdom celebrates one of its older industries by observing Cheese Week. Reporter Christopher Wirth tells us there has been a boom in British cheese.
If you're a fan of Wallace and Gromit movies, you know the British have a reputation for eating cheese.
I'll never sleep after all that cheese.
While the French and Italians have a reputation for making it. But Juliet Harbit says Britain once had a cheese-making tradition that was just as vibrant as the rest of Europe.
And they went from something like 2,500-3,000 cheesemakers at the beginning of the First World War to after the Second World War, we were down to about 300 or 400.
Harbit founded the British Cheese Awards 15 years ago. She's seen a big improvement in the industry since then. Today, there are over 700 different British cheeses, putting the UK ahead of France in the number of varieties per capita. Yes, someone actually measures that sort of thing. And the market for artisanal British cheeses hit $300 million last year. Harbit says the revival is due mostly to rock-bottom milk prices that have dairy farmers looking for new ways to make a profit.
What we need to do now is to put the curd into the molds.
At her small creamery in a village about an hour outside London, Anne Wigmore stirs a vat of cheese curds the size of a bathtub. She brings in around $180,000 a year for the various cow and sheep's milk varieties she began developing nearly 25 years ago.
It was called then a sort of new wave of cheesemakers coming through, actually producing a completely different cheese.
Instead of sticking with old traditional British cheeses, like standard cheddar, Wigmore says the new generation of British cheesemakers are incorporating different European styles to create innovative products, many with equally innovative names. Jason Hines is with Neal's Yard Dairy, a specialty cheese shop in London.
A lot of the cheeses are actually taking the names of the location of the place that they're made. Ticklemore is one, because the cheesemaker had a shop, and it was at 1 Ticklemore Street.
Other names are even more imaginative. How about Wobbly Bottom, Cornish Yarg, and Stinking Bishop? Stinking Bishop may not sound like the most appetizing cheese, but the artisan who makes it reported demand jumped 500% after Wallace and Gromit sampled it in one of their movies. In London, I'm Christopher Wirth for Marketplace.
And finally, Deborah Smirling got a card in the mail from Harrah's Casino in Atlantic City saying, here's a $15 voucher you can spend on Sunday, August 10th. Deborah showed up just after midnight, Saturday night, the 9th, which is technically Sunday morning, but the casino told her she couldn't use the voucher until 8 in the morning. Maybe Deborah doesn't like morning gambling. She sued Harrah's, and now the casino must pay $100 to her and 80,000 other people. And they can gamble that money anytime they want. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. You'll see a special feature at our website. Marketers use your shopping data to slot you into a consumer profile. You might be curious to find out what your consumer profile is, according to those marketers. You can do that at marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.